another great show brought to you by the Law of Attraction Radio Network. The Think, Believe, and Manifest Show with author, master trainer, and certified dream coach, Constance Arnold. Join us every week as we bring you life-changing information that will empower your life. And here's Constance.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to the Law of Attraction Radio Network. And I am Constance Arnold, your most gracious host. And today, of course, I am broadcasting live from beautiful Atlanta, Georgia. And I would just like to welcome my listeners from all over the world. I think 121 countries now. And I declare that if you are listening today at this very moment, that the Spirit of God has attracted you here. And today you will receive enlightenment, revelation, and the principles that you hear will begin to cause you to shift and change your thinking about your life. Well, once again, welcome. How are you doing? Have you had a great week? Are you beginning to see manifestations in your life? Are you grateful for the life that you have? You know, gratitude is a powerful force that when you utilize it, that it begins to bring to you the life that you desire. Well, can you believe it is April 1st? I cannot believe it. So my question for you is, what are you doing or being different so far this year so that you can create something different in your life? You know, I always say that if you want something different, a lot of people say you have to do something different, but I say you have to be something different, and then out of that being, you will begin to do something different. Well, the answer for me is that I'm spending more time studying, meditating, reading, and putting in the time to receive the knowledge and revelation that I need for me and then for all of my wonderful listeners all over the world. And you know, a great example of that would be that on this Thursday, I chose to take the entire day off, and I just set aside 5 hours of uninterrupted time. That means no iPad, no iPhone, no coaching, nothing. And I just spent that time praying, meditating, and just thinking on some universal principles and asking the Spirit to show me my life, to survey my life, and to show me what did I need to learn and who do I need to become and what do I need to do differently this year in order to create something different for my life and so that I can share it with you. And so maybe you don't have that much time, but why not begin to set aside maybe 20 or 30 minutes every day to go in and what do your inside work, because it is truly an inside job. Well, on the fun side, I've gotten my new iPad, and I've been having so much fun playing with it, and I'm going to be going to some Apple classes. And even though I have an iPhone, the iPad is just so cool, and I'm just really loving it. And that's basically what's going on in my life, except for that I'm very excited about all of you. You know, I hear from people all over the world every week saying, Constance, your show is changing my life. And I'm so grateful to God that God is really just divinely connecting me to great people like I have tonight on the show. And so I'm really excited. I have a question for you. How many of you would like to learn more about how to develop a millionaire mindset from a millionaire herself? Let me see your hands. Well, I want you to stay tuned, and after this quick commercial break, I will be right back with my special guest all the way from down under Australia, and you're going to be learning valuable information that will shift and change your thinking about riches and wealth.
You are listening to your daily dose of well-being and inspiration on Law of Attraction Radio Network at LOARadionetwork.com. Hear this incredible show on your smartphone through Stitcher.com, which goes through your car stereos with Ford Sync or any auto dashboard that has the internet. Listen to our 24/7 broadcast with our mobile app as well, or just listen through an MP3 player or computer. Remember, LOARadionetwork.com, heard in over 120 countries, is the radio station for your well-being.
Hello, I am Constance Arnold, your success coach. It is the beginning of 2012, and are you ready for change? Just imagine starting your new business or working in a career that you truly love, or possibly attracting your soulmate. With my 25 years of experience, coupled with your eagerness to do the work, you can create immediate, outrageous results. We can partner together to begin creating unlimited possibilities in your life. So visit my website today at fulfillingyourpurpose.com and take a look at the varied coaching packages custom designed to fit your very lifestyle. Remember, you are worth the investment. Well, I hope you enjoyed those commercials. Be sure to go to my website, fulfillingyourpurpose.com, and take advantage of all of the tools that I've designed just with you in mind. Man, I have some great MP3 downloads that you can listen to every night before you fall asleep. And, of course, my wonderful book, Secrets of Success, and, of course, my coaching and speaking. I'm currently speaking all over the world. I would love to come to your event and speak to your organization. But tonight, are you ready? My very special guest all of the way from Australia is Dr. Zena Unami. She is a powerful and influential woman who inspires people to tap into their true wealth. She is a millionaire, and she is the author of Your Journey to Wealth, A Guide to Developing a Millionaire Mindset. And she is the founder and has launched Wealth Zone Education to fulfill her own calling as a professional speaker. And she just really has some high-powered presentations at that educational center where she might focus in on the Millionaire Mindset class or Wealth Zone Business Club and the Millionaire Makers Club. And she is certainly a master at wealth creation, and she educates people on how to live a higher quality lifestyle. And she and I have a very interesting story about how we divinely connected. So, Zena, welcome to the Law of Attraction Radio Network.
Thank you very much, Constance. I'm very excited to be here.
And I know that I did not pronounce your last name correctly, so please pronounce your last name. I've been practicing all week, and when I saw it on paper, I don't know, I sort of went out of my mind. So please tell everybody what your full name is.
It's not a very easy one to pronounce because there's a lot of there's a lot of IOUs in it, so it's Iwanu.
Iwanu, okay, so I'll call you Dr. Zena. So it is so interesting how you and I met, and for my listeners, I'm talking about that when every day, just in your everyday life, if you just listen to spirit, how the spirit would divinely connect you. And so somehow I always pray, God, who should I have on my show? And I get so many emails, Constance, I want to be on your show. Sometimes I feel led and sometimes I don't. But just lately, the spirit has really been directing me about wealth and about miracles and about angels and about the supernatural. And somehow I Googled your name, Zena, and it's so interesting. Tell your part of the story, and I contacted you, but share your story with our listeners.
Well, my part of the story is I just needed something different to listen to on my iPod. So I went on to iTunes and downloaded a whole lot of stuff. I just typed in law of attraction, higher consciousness, whatever sort of inspiring words came to my mind. I had no idea who you were, Constance, at that time. But somehow your radio show ended up on my iPod, and I was listening to it in the car and thinking, now that is an inspiring inspiring lady. So I must have sent you some energy. And thinking how grateful I really was that there are people like you out there just waking up the planet away from the negativity that we hear in the news all the time. And at that time, I was also thinking, wouldn't it be nice if I was to raise my profile enough to be noticed by this lady? What do I need to do? Well, I didn't need to do very much because 2 days later, I checked my email and there was an email from you saying, would you like to be on my show? And I thought, now, why does that, you know, radio network sound so familiar to me? And I checked my iPod and I thought, that's the lady I was listening to.
You know, never amazes, it never ceases to amaze me about how the Spirit can divinely connect us all. So what are the chances? You live in Australia, right? And here I am in Atlanta, Georgia, in the U.S., and all this lady did was set an intention. I don't even know if she said it out loud, but obviously her vibration level was so powerful. It came all the way over here in the U.S. and sort of hit me in the head. And here we are tonight, and I'm really excited about it because it is certainly a divine connection.
No, it really is.
So your book is Your Inner Journey to Wealth, A Guide to Developing a Millionaire Mindset. And I'm so excited about having you on the show because of what's going on globally, economically. I get so many questions about wealth. So share with our listeners a little bit about who you are and your own personal journey to wealth.
Sure. Okay. My own personal journey is I didn't start off rich. I actually started off with nothing. I was a refugee from Cyprus. So there was a war in Cyprus in 1974, and my parents lost absolutely everything. So we came to Australia, sponsored to come to Australia, as refugees with only a suitcase and $200 in cash. Now, I had a mother who was not working, a brother, and my dad was the only working member of that family. So it was up to my dad to support us and get us to a stage where we can actually live. And in Cyprus, where we lived, he was actually a middle-class type of person. So we weren't from a low socioeconomic background or anything like that. He had businesses. He had real estate. He lost everything in the war, came with nothing. And by the age of about 55, he retired financially rich as a self-made millionaire in Australia. Now, that was my first strong insight into mindset, because what I began to see was that people that were born here and had all the privileges that Australia has to offer, and I consider Australia a very privileged country, the real estate, the opportunities are here so vast that you can create wealth if you just tap into that inner journey. Like you say, it's an inside job. But a lot of people were not able to do it. So I started to have a look at my dad's mindset. And that's the only thing that I inherited from my dad, by the way. He's never given me money. not yet. He's still very much alive. And using his money, he actually lives 6 months in Cyprus at the moment and 6 months in Australia. So he travels a lot and he is retired. But he was of the opinion that you don't give your kids money, you make them work damn hard, and that's what he did.
Right. But what he did was he gave you a millionaire mindset. I think it was Donald Trump who said that if I lose all of my money this year, next year I'll have it again. Because, like you said, that looking at your parents and really being in the household where the household was a wealth consciousness household, really, even though you didn't have the money, you were given the tools and the consciousness to really become a millionaire. So you are a millionaire. Is that correct?
I am at the moment. I own real estate, over $1 million worth of real estate. I own 4 different businesses and just continuing to grow. But what I'm comforted in is I don't place a personal attachment onto money because I know, just like Donald Trump, that if I lose it, I can create it again.
Right.
So, and I think it's important to have that. I think it's important to not have that personal attachment. You are not money. You know, you are your ability to create money. Because as soon as you, your self-worth becomes money, then you start holding onto it. And you create a fear about losing it. And you create a loss. And as soon as you do that, that is not millionaire mindset. That's scarcity mindset.
It sure is.
Where a lot of people come from that, and a lot of people who go out and buy real estate and invest in shares are coming from that scarcity mindset. They're not coming from the abundance mindset. They're coming from the point of view of, I am this money, and if I lose it, then, you know, my self-worth is going to be less. It's not.
You know, that is so true. And, you know, Xenia, that in the U.S., we have the largest lottery this week, $640 million, which is $500 million. And they were saying that people are so excited about it, but then they gave some statistics about, because a lot of people who win the lottery do not have what you refer to as a millionaire mindset or a millionaire consciousness, that between 3 and 5 years that they lose all of their money. So what we're talking about tonight about really having a mindset is really key. So I understand that you were originally a medical research scientist. So how did you transition from being a scientist to becoming a person who was a wealth creator?
Yes. Well, first of all, I became a scientist because I made what my dad did wrong, because I was not ready at that time. So I was a smart person. I was going to go to university. I was not going to develop businesses and buy real estate. So what am I doing now? It's the total opposite. But at that time, I went to university because I was, you know, I just considered myself to be a really smart person, smarter than my dad. So I went to university. So I didn't inherit that mindset right from the beginning. I had to find it myself, which is really important. Went to university, and during my PhD, when I was doing my doctorate at Flinders University in South Australia, I came across an article. And it was published in New York Times in 1988, and I came across it, I think it was in the mid-1990s, and it was sitting on the desk in the coffee room, and I picked it up, and it was a paper about a little boy who, I think his name was Timmy, who developed a reaction to orange juice. But the interesting thing was that he had a condition like a multiple personality disorder, so he would react to orange juice in one personality and not another one. And what was even more interesting is that if he went into an allergic reaction in one personality and then transferred to the other personality, the reaction, which was Hives, would disappear, and vice versa. Now, this absolutely stunned me, and I didn't know what it was. I asked one of the professors that I was working with, and he said, Xenia, you know what? There are psychosomatic responses that we yet do not understand. Well, now we do understand them. And what was in play was that one personality had a belief that they were allergic to orange juice, and another personality did not. So it was not created.
That's very, very powerful. And you talk about the power of belief and having a conditioned mind. What is a conditioned mind, and why do you think we need it in wealth creation?
Okay. What a conditioned mind is, if I could give you an analogy that I've stolen from my husband without permission, but I'm sure he won't mind. My husband is a master trainer in neuro-linguistic programming, and one of the things that he talks about is the conditioned mind being a survival mechanism which distorts, deletes, and generalizes. So what that actually means, if you just so I can give a very quick analogy, if you imagine a zebra in Africa that is a little bit naive because it doesn't have a conditioned mind yet, and it gets bitten by a lion, and it somehow it survives. Now, what is going to be programmed in that zebra is a you know, the sound of a growl, maybe the yellow colour, an animal with teeth coming at it, and it's going to put those in a danger category. So if that zebra then gets taken to India and gets attacked by a tiger, it's not going to wait and analyze and say, well, wait a minute, this one's got stripes, or da, 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 because it will be game over for that zebra. You know, as soon as it hears a growl or sees anything yellow, you know, you can put a lion's skin in front of a zebra and it will react with fear because it's been conditioned as a survival mechanism to avoid that animal. Now, we are also programmed in the same way, not only with wealth, but with everything in our lives. So, I mean, just as another example, there was a man that I was talking to a few years ago who was trying to trade the share market, and he kept making losses and losses and losses, and no matter how much he tried, he just couldn't have a win on the share market. So he did a lot of personal development work, and what came out for him was a conversation that he heard before he was born. So he was in the womb, and there was a conversation of two people arguing about money, and of course he related that as a threat to his survival. So he was not able to then produce any wealth in his life because it was a threat to his survival, and this is a conditioned mind being played out. When he asked his mother later, she was actually watching a TV show. But what happened was he took that's how the conditioned mind works. It's not analytical and it's not logical. So it takes that literally, so it stops you from creating wealth because for some reason we've been programmed to think that having money is a threat to your existence.
Right, right. And it's so interesting, the power of our subconscious mind regarding wealth. I know the story that I remember in my own household growing up as an African-American girl. I used to hear my father say, you know, money doesn't grow on trees, and he saved a lot. And what happened for me, Zinya, was that I became very scarcity in my thinking. I said by the time I'm 30, I'm going to be wealthy. But then when I did get money, because I did have a lack mentality, I spent all of my money. And so you're so right. I mean, you know about, you know, blueprinting our subconscious when it comes to wealth. So talk about the power of subconscious programming, and how can we change that regarding wealth and anything else in our lives?
Okay. Well, the reason to change it is to first understand that when it comes into play, it takes over us. And a lot of it, I mean, you talked about your dad saying that money doesn't grow on trees and all of that. That's conscious. So you're conscious of that. What is dangerous is the virus in the background that's unconscious, that you don't know about. And what the way that plays out is excuses and fear. And one of the things that I tell people to do when I do my seminars is to take some cash out of the bank, whatever makes you feel uncomfortable. So, you know, $1,000 makes you feel uncomfortable, take that out and carry it around. You know, if it's $10,000, carry that around, because what that does is it puts into perspective the fear associated with money, because at the end of the day, if you cannot lose $10,000, because that's what it is. If people cannot carry $10,000 on their person walking down the street, they have a fear of money, or they have a fear of losing money. And it's okay to have that. I'm not making it wrong. It is okay to have that if you don't want to create a vast amount of money in your life. But if Donald Trump had that, he would be in serious trouble, because how can you risk money? And every time you invest money and every time you put yourself in a position, you know, starting your business, you know, put yourself out there, get out of your comfort zone to create wealth, you're risking money. It's like if you wanted to climb Mount Everest, you'll be risking your life. So why do you do it? Because the experience at the end of it is going to be worth less than the risk. So the first thing is to get rid of the fear. By facing the fear directly, carrying money around. And the second thing is why. You know, how big is your why? Why do you want to become wealthy? Because if your why is big enough, you know, if you really wanted to climb that mountain because of the experience, if that experience is big enough, yes, you will risk your life to do it.
And so my listeners, let's just talk about that why for a minute. So they might say, I want to be able to send my children to school. I want to be very philanthropic. I want to build a new house. I want to be an orphanage. So their whys should be written down. And I did that many years ago. My mentor told me, he said, I needed to make room for my wealth. So I knew that before it came, what I was going to do with it. I had a plan for it. I call it money with a mission.
That's what it is, exactly. And my big why is complete freedom. I like the freedom to go on holidays wherever I want. I want the freedom to take my children overseas to experience different things. I want the freedom of not working. You know, I want employees. I don't want to be an employee.
Right. And so it is a mindset, and it has a lot to do with our feelings and our emotions around money. And I know in your book you talk about being in the zone or a frequency that is attached to a different set of emotions when they're in our subconscious. So talk about frequencies and vibrations and how emotions are attached to that when it comes to money.
Okay, so if we imagine a scale constant, like a scale of wealth or a scale of consciousness, if you want, because it's all related, and right at the bottom of the scale, we are closer to our conditioned mind, so closer to that survival mechanism, and up the top of that scale, you're closer to the source. So the source can be God, the source can be the power of within you, but it's you, it is you and who you are, that's the source. And it's not your conditioned mind. You've got to make that distinction as your conditioned mind and as you. And it's two different things. And as soon as you make that condition, then you can sort of live your life by those principles and become conscious of being unconscious. And that's when you start to grow. But if you... Yes, sorry.
Well, you know, and so there is a frequency tied to fear. I don't have enough money to pay my mortgage, or what am I going to do? I lost all of my money in the stock market. So how can a person begin to change that frequency and vibration? Because if they don't change that, am I correct, they're going to keep attracting lack and scarcity and not enough?
Exactly. So the frequency is a very deep subconscious fear, and it is subconscious, and when there's a subconscious fear, it plays out as excuses in their life. So what people need to watch is their excuses. What is your excuse? You know, are you female? Are you too young, too old? Not enough money, came from the wrong side of town, your parents didn't love you enough. Well, whatever your excuses are, it's not the excuse. It's really that it's attached to a fear in the background. So if you address that excuse and push through it with persistence, then the excuse can no longer have that reason.
And so whatever we think or whatever we feel regarding wealth and having riches and money in our lives, it creates an energy or a vibration. And whatever vibration or energy we constantly focus in on and feel, that's what we keep attracting into our lives.
Absolutely. And at the end of the day, you know, even if you lose all of your money in today's society, you will still be okay. It is not a survival mechanism anymore. It might have been, 1,000 years ago, and we're still carrying that in our subconscious. But it is not now.
Well, you know, in your book, you talk about how wealth is a science. And I love that because I like exact mathematical formulas that anybody can use where there would be no excuses. And if they go inward, like you said, that they can really create wealth. So elaborate on how is wealth a science and how does it work?
Well, wealth is a science, and because it's a process. It's a process that we now understand. You know, the first time I saw inside of a human body, Constance, I was going to vomit.
Wow.
You know, this was when I was a scientist. The second time, it was interesting. And the third time, it was predictable. Because, you know, if you needed to have an operation on your spleen, it would be at the same place in your body, inside your body, as my spleen is. So somebody can go in, a doctor can go in, and they'll know exactly where to find it. Well, your mind is exactly the same. You know, that we have a complete anatomy of your mind now, and we know that, you know, if there's a fear, it's going to come out as an excuse. We know that, you know, if you're constantly angry with people, you've got a problem from the past, you're basically not living in present time, and there is a precise anatomy of the mind. So wealth is a process of strategy. So you've got to know your strategy, whether, you know, and it depends on where your strength is. You know, are you interested in the stock market, building businesses? Mine is building businesses. That's where I create a lot of my wealth. Real estate market, you know, a lot of people think that I'm a real estate person. I'm not really. I hold a lot of my wealth in real estate, but I don't. I find it a little bit boring to constantly talk about real estate because it's just where you park your money. So it's a strategy of whatever the vehicle is combined with mindset. So, you know, staying in that higher vibration all the time combined with a wealth network.
I was going to talk about that, a wealth network or a wealth environment. Let's just say hypothetically that they might say, well, okay, Xenia, that's great for you, but I grew up in the ghetto. I've never seen anybody wealthy. I'm not around wealthy people. How can I begin to put myself in a millionaire environment and around people who have a wealth consciousness versus that lack and scarcity mentality?
Okay, well, there's a couple of things there. How did I attract you?
You thought about it, and you said, wow, I sure would like to be on her show. And there must have been some belief there.
Yeah, so if my belief was that, you know, of lack and scarcity and all of that kind of thing, then I am 100% sure that I would not be on this show right now, because I wouldn't have attracted it. So there is the continuous focus on what you want. So even if you're in a ghetto, I mean, my parents came from, you know, refugee status, but there was a continuous focus on wealth. So that is one. The other thing is the value that you create for another person. If you can create, and this is where wealth, that is the essence of wealth. What is the value that you can create for another person? People that feel a little bit guilty about accepting money from other people, it's because they don't believe in the value that they can create for that. So there is an exchange of money for value the whole time.
That is so true. I was coaching a lady who is a celebrity, and I was attending one of her seminars in the back, just sort of anonymously, and she's been in movies, etc. And at the end, she said, and here are my products. And she threw her CDs and DVDs just on a table. And after the session, I coached her personally, and I said, you are a celebrity. You have 25 years experience in the metaphysical, but because you did not create a value for yourself, then nobody was buying her products. Because she needed to feel a sense of worth that she was creating value and that she was serving and that she should get paid for that.
Exactly.
And so I think that's really, really big. And so what about if you're in a family or you have people around you who are negative and they're always talking about the gas prices? I don't know in Australia what the gas prices are, but here in the U.S., they're at $4 and $5, and people just love to talk about how much gas costs. Personally, I don't discuss it. I was at the pump the other day, and this lady said, can you believe the price of gas? And I didn't even entertain her because I understood that was a scarcity mentality. So what can people do who are in the midst of very negative people, possibly a wife who is going inward trying to create wealth and a husband who's very negative and fearful?
We see that a lot.
I bet you do.
And especially in conscious awareness, it's usually the females that are stepping out and becoming more aware, and the males are resisting. So it's, but going back to your question of what can you do about it, first of all, acknowledge that it's not about you. So other people's programs are other people's programs. So that lady that you were talking about at the gas station who had this negative outlook, one of the best things that you could do is acknowledge it. That's her reality, and that's fine. That's not your reality, and you don't ever have to make it your reality. What I usually tell people to do is say, you know, say something like, is that so? You know, or I understand. Because that's not buying into it. That's not saying that you agree with it. Never, ever agree with it and never disagree with it.
Right.
Because you have to allow people to be and have their own reality around the stuff that works for them, because it does work for them. So for whatever reason, she's taking energy from other people to feed her own conditioning, and it works for her at that point. So what happens is if you go in and try to make that wrong and say, oh, no, you know, you have a negative attitude, blah, 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 that's going to really trip her buttons and react her conditioned mind, and she's going to attack you.
Right.
And then it will trip your conditioned mind, and there's going to be this little very low vibration game playing where, you could stop that by just saying, yes, I understand, or is that so, and just leaving it from there. If people really want to take that further, then they'll say, yes, that's so, blah, 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 blah. And you can just say, okay, would you like to tell me more? Blah,
right.
Blah, 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 blah.
So no one else, even if you're in a household where one person is really not interested in really a web consciousness, what you're saying is that it's a personal responsibility. And so each person has to decide what they want to create for themselves on the inside, because it is an inner journey.
Yes, yes, absolutely. I mean, I did not marry a rich person or an investor. My husband came from a background that was a little bit poverty-minded, sort of working class kind of background. So the first thing they did was, when we first got married, was point out the fact that I was $500,000 in debt because I had three properties, and what was I going to do about it?
That is so interesting. Well, you know, because money is the number one reason for a divorce, and it's so important, I believe, to really discuss in a relationship, and especially in a marriage where you're coming together as one. You know, I think you really need to be aware and cognizant of the other person's beliefs around money.
That's right. That's right. You also need to be very aware of your codependence on other people's stuff, even if it is your marriage. So if my husband, and he's done this, you know, he's come in and said, you know, your shoes look ridiculous. I've got these white shoes that he absolutely despises. And I just say, is that so? And just walk out wearing the same shoes, because that, you know, that's only his opinion. I'm not going to change my life or my stuff just because he doesn't like something.
Right.
And at the same time, you've got to be careful not to play that game to make them wrong. Allow them to be, allow them to have that. But you've got to watch out. Are you not speaking out? And are you appeasing? Because, you know, appeasing another person is part of being codependent on what they're going to say or what they're going to think. Now, I'm not suggesting that you go out and tell people exactly what you think of them, especially if it's negative. But if it's affecting you doing something, that you need to speak out.
I agree with that 100%. We know, and relationships are so key in attracting wealth.
Yes, exactly. And how that person reacts is up to them.
That's so true.
And, you know, for a person that's stuck in a marriage where, you know, they are not able to create wealth because the partner is continuously stopping it, you've got to put those boundaries in place. You know, even if it means, okay, you do this, here's your half of the money, and I'm going to do this. I'm going to take $1,000. Here's yours. You can go out, do whatever you want to do, but mine is going to be invested here and here and blah, blah, blah. So you've got to come up with some kind of agreement, you know, that works, and enough boundaries in place to not stop you from where you want to go, because at the end of the day, it is a very low vibration game to play into other people's stuff, even if you're married to them, and allow them to stop you from going where you want to go.
I agree 100%. So let's talk about the power of focus or the power of the law of attraction. And I think your being on the show tonight is just a great example of focus. So talk about the power of the law of attraction when it comes to money and anything else that you desire in your life.
Well, it is. It's focus and it's intention. You know, how strong in the... In the physical universe, the strongest intention will win. So even if you have people around you that don't want that intention for you, if your intention is strong enough and you stay out of their game and you focus on what you want to do, stay present. And the law of attraction, I believe, works better when you're present and you're at a higher vibration, because it doesn't have that conditioning, that conditioned mind sort of resisting it and creating a resistance along the way. Because once you have that, you might say, look, I want to be on the Law of Attraction Wealth radio network, and something might creep into my mind and that says, well, you know, who the hell are you? You're not good enough, blah, blah, blah. And then I've got this dichotomy going on in my mind, which, you know, reduces my ability to attract what I really want. But in present time, if I'm not entertaining the thoughts of my conditioned mind, either in the present or in the past, and I'm just focusing on that intention, then I've got more of a chance of manifesting what I want in my life, and it happens quicker.
Right. And so if a person, let's just say they desire to really make $100,000 this year, so what you're saying is they need to just, you know, believe that it can happen in each moment. And as they're in present in each moment, strategies and principles and steps will come to them as to how they can manifest that.
Yes, absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. And believe in the value that you're going to create in exchange for that $100,000.
So should people actually write down how much money they want to make or how much money they want to create? What is your thinking on that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think there's magic that happens when you put pen to paper. And, yeah, absolutely write it down. One of the things that I do at the beginning of the year is write the first 50 things that I want to achieve this year. So I sit there and write 50 goals, and by the end of it, I can't even think of any more, but I keep writing. And then look at it at the end of the year, and, you know, most of them have been manifested along the way.
That's so true. I'm just a big proponent on writing things down. The example that I always give was, it was only when I actually wrote down $100,000 that year I made $100,000. Because I think the writing of it put a certain energy of faith and belief with it, and then ideas began to come to me as to how I could train and coach and make $100,000. And so then I said to myself, if it would work for $100,000, it would work for $200,000. And so it's just something powerful about writing down what you desire and setting a strong intention.
Yeah, absolutely.
So what are some millionaire habits? What do millionaires do? How do they think? What are some tips that you can give to listeners tonight?
Okay. One of the things that I notice is I am around a lot of people that do a lot of personal development, and they are in a very high vibrational zone. So they do not allow other people to derail them from their purpose. They are on purpose all the time, and a lot of them still don't have wealth. One of the reasons is they haven't found their strategy yet, so they're not educated in what they're doing. They haven't been educated in the stock market. They don't know whether they're going to do business or real estate or, you know, what it is they're going to do, because your strategy is very important, and education on that strategy is very important as well.
So they need to have a strategy, and they need to kind of know what they need to become an expert at whatever their field they're going to exchange exchange or create value for in exchange for money. For example, if you are baking cookies, you need to bake the best cookies in the world. And what will entice people to come to you and buy your cookies versus going to another bakery to purchase cookies. So they really need to know strategically what their product is and how they're going to create value. Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely, absolutely. And the other thing is that they haven't been taught millionaire habits. Now, one of the biggest millionaire habits that I know is that millionaires stay on purpose. Millionaires do what they need to do, not what feels good to do. See, I may feel like going home and watching TV and eating ice cream, but what I do is not what I feel like doing. What I do is go home and read a book and do something that's going to keep me on that purpose.
That is so true. And I think that habits are so essential. Somebody said that I can tell where you're going by your habits. Talk about persistence, because so many people talk about, well, I tried to start a business, but I couldn't get it started and I just gave up. What is the role of persistence? And would you say that that is certainly one of the habits that millionaires really possess?
Yeah, absolutely. Persistence is a habit, and so is quitting. That's a habit as well. So what I tell people to do is to create new habits, you've got to stick at them for 30 to 90 days nonstop. And then it sort of gets rewired in your brain to keep doing that same thing. So persistence is one of those things that really combats your conditioned mind, because what your conditioned mind does is create a resistance. So if you persist past that resistance that's created, then you can create wealth. Like, I look at people like Donald Trump, and you mentioned he does have a lot of very, very good millionaire habits. I don't consider him a person that is in a very, very high vibration. I consider him a person who's a normal person, but who has a lot of very good millionaire habits and a lot of persistence. And he's wealthy as a result.
You know, that is so true. So what are some other millionaire habits that you would like to share with our listeners tonight? We talked about persistence, and we talked about creating value and strategic alliance. What else? How do millionaires think, and what are some other habits that they have?
Another habit that I like is working on one thing at a time. Clean environment, declutter everything that you have. You know, if people can go home today and clean out anything that they don't need, that's creating a really good millionaire habit, because holding on to stuff that you do not need in your house, cluttering your environment, is really on some level creating a poverty mindset, because that's telling your mind that, you know, there's a scarcity associated with this jacket that I'm never, ever going to wear, and I bought once, you know, because I thought I was going to wear it. It's been in my cupboard for 5 years. You know, get rid of it. It's cluttering your space, and it's not allowing, you know, good things to come into your life. And the same with your mind. It works. If you declutter your environment, you declutter your life. You know, if you work on a clean workspace, instead of having all these things, all these, you know, cycles of action opened all the time, you know, working on this thing and that thing and that thing, you know, if you just clear everything off your desk and you say, right, today I'm going to be working on this one thing until it's finished, and then I'm going to be working on something else. If you need to work on multiple things at a time, put one thing away and take another one out and work in hours, you know, precise hours in the day. That's the way that I work, because I work on multiple things. You know, but cluttering your mind and your space with things is almost instilling that poverty thinking that there is scarcity around not only money, but now it's extended to material things, and people can be attached to material things that they don't need, just so like they can be attached to money.
You know, that is so true. And, you know, just in summary, you talk about an inner journey. So would you summarize what are some of the inner things, once again, that we can do in order to create wealth consciousness in our lives?
Yep. I've actually got 7 rules for staying out of other people's very low vibration, or for playing, you've got to take responsibility for playing very low vibration games. One of them is to stay present. You know, stay in the present moment. Don't think about the past or the future or anything like that. If people talk about you, it's not really about you. Like, what color shirt are you wearing right now, Constance?
Red.
Red. So if I was to say to you, people that wear red shirts should not be running radio stations. Is that really about you?
No, that's your stuff.
Yes, exactly, exactly. But quite a lot of the time, we buy into that stuff and we make it about us. And we start playing that game. Like, how dare you say that? Oh, we're red shirts all the time. And you've just lost it. So if you were to just turn around and say, yes, I understand, and just move on,
right?
That would be the end of my little vibration game,
right?
Wouldn't it? Because you've just stopped me right there. And it makes me feel better because you've stopped me from playing that game. It never feels good in the long run to play that game. The other thing is stop all of your excuses, reasons. It doesn't matter what your excuse or reason is. Write down, actually get a piece of paper and write down all the excuses and reasons that you have for not creating wealth and look at them and see if they are real or not. Now, a lot of people will, actually I went to a seminar some time ago. And during a coffee break, I bumped into a lady, and this was the seminar was on trading the share market, and it was when my second child was born. She was only 3 weeks old at the time, and people noticed me because they had my mum. I had my mum bringing in the baby for a feed every couple of hours, so it was very difficult not to notice who I was
right
at that time. So I was out having a coffee. And a lady came up to me and she said, you know, I really, really admire you because I always used my children as an excuse not to create wealth. And children make fantastic excuses because it's believable. You know, I want to wait till my children grow up. Well, that's a great excuse because you believe it. Not only do you believe it, but other people around you believe it and they feed it back to you as a belief.
That's great insight. So being present and identifying your excuses, what are some other things that we can do in order to really go inside and create wealth?
Keep up your intention. So if your intention is strong, like I touched on before, in the physical universe, the greatest intention will win. So if my intention was to, you know, make you wrong, Constance, and I don't believe that you should be on a radio station because you're female or something like that, and your intention was to stay on this radio station because you're doing a damn good job, you know, for society, then that intention and your belief is going to win over my negativity.
So true.
Because there are people around you, whether you're in a rich environment or a poor environment or whatever environment you are, if you have that sort of belief and your intention is not strong enough, somebody will derail you from your purpose.
So true.
What's your language? I mean, language is very strong. What you say to yourself, what you say to other people is very strong. You know, if I was to say, well, you know, I'm not sure if I can do this or I'm stressed or something like that, you know, that becomes a reality for me, and that you get all, you know, tizzied up. I did that the other day. I had so many things on the go. I went to a friend's house and I said, you know what, I'm stressed. I have never been so stressed in my life. I'm like, this going on. She's a very high vibration person. She just looked at me and smiled. And she wasn't buying into it. She just let me talk and talk and talk.
Right.
And at the end, she just turned around and she said, Danielle, you're full of BS. And I smiled and I said, thank you. And let's go have a coffee. Because she wasn't going to feed that very vibration thing that I had slumped into in that moment. if I was around somebody that did feed it, then I would have kept it going for a little bit longer until my inner being sort of stepped in and thought, you know what, this isn't working. Because at the end of the day, like you said at the beginning of your show, you can take a day off if you want.
Right. And like you said, to go inward and begin doing these, I call them rituals, or are really becoming disciplined on the inside, because eventually and inevitably what you truly believe on the inside will be outpictured in your life.
Absolutely.
And I believe that so many people are trying to create wealth, and we don't have time for this, but they've never dealt with their inside or their limiting beliefs or their consciousness of lack and scarcity. And so that's why I'm going to really strongly encourage people to get your book, Your Inner Journey to Wealth, A Guide to Developing a Millionaire Mindset. We didn't have time to cover everything tonight, but it's an awesome and a great book. I've read it. And so how can people contact you? What is your website? What do you have going on in your business?
Okay. I've got lots of things going on, and I'm not stressed because I'm loving it. My website is wze.com.au. That's my overall website. I have a website for my book. It's yourinnerjourneytowealth.com. And I have a fantastic, for those people in Adelaide, South Australia, or Australia in general, I've got a three-day conference coming up. It's absolutely free. It's called the Leaders and Visionaries Conference. We're going to have 9 different speakers. It was 8, now we just added a 9th one, 9 different speakers on the global economy, staying at a very high vibration. The speakers have been deliberately chosen to be, you know, a little bit more spiritual in their approach, or very, very good at their strategy. They're true leaders in their field. What I see happening out there, Constance, a lot, is that people, especially marketers that are trying to share a lot of the wealth creation things, are really tapping into the fear of people. So they're tapping into the fear and the scarcity, and their marketing reflects that. So a lot of their marketing is, you know, come to this seminar and learn how to not lose any more money.
Right.
And we're getting a little bit sick and tired of that, because it's low vibration. They're attracting the wrong type of people into their seminars, and what's happening is that those people are going out, investing in the share market, the real estate market, out of fear, and ending up losing a lot of money because they're doing it for the wrong purpose to begin with, and they don't have the right mindset.
Well, you know, I really love the work that you're doing. I love the spirit of who you are and how you really have a strong desire to serve and to really help to shape and shift and change the mindset of people so that they can create wealth in their lives and just really change the world. And I'm going to really once again strongly encourage people to go to her website and purchase her book and just take your time reading it, devour the book, and just begin to implement, take small baby steps on a daily basis, implementing the principles that she has designed just with you in mind. And just, we have a couple of minutes left, Xenia, in summarizing, what would you like to say to people all over the world tonight?
I'd like to say that life is worth living, Constance. Life is, I mean, if you follow a lot of your shows, if you know, and for your listeners especially, they would realize that we're a spiritual being, and we're here to play a very physical game, and the reason why we're here is to actually live life and live a passion and live a purpose that's consistent with our higher principles. Bruce Lipton put it as, you know, if we were not here, we would not know what chocolate tastes like. Mm. So, you know, you go out and create the life that you want, and, you know, surround yourself with happy, healthy people that are very, you know, that want to see you succeed, people that are vibrating from the inside, and enjoy your life as much as you can. That's what we're here for. That's why we manifested this physical existence to begin with.
That's just great advice, and I'm going to encourage all of my listeners to make a quality decision that's how you're going to live your life, even while you're in the process of really creating wealth and abundance in all areas of your life. And Xenia, I just want to thank you for attracting me to you. It's been such a honor and a pleasure tonight. And when I come to Australia, and that is certainly my intention, I'm going to make sure that I stay in contact with you so that when I do come to Australia that I can meet you personally.
Absolutely. Thank you very much. It's been my absolute pleasure to be here.
Well, once again, this is Constance Arnold with the Think, Believe, and Manifest talk show. Tell three of your friends about the talk show and how it's changing your life. Remember to visit my website at fulfillingyourpurpose.com. Remember, God loves you deeply. Remember that the favor of God surrounds you. And this week, expect a miracle. God bless you.
Thanks for joining us today on Think, Believe, and Manifest. We'll be back next week with another great show. For more information, go to fulfillingyourpurpose.com.